From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Our devotional for today is entitled Mouth Confession, Heart Belief. The text is found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There must be confession with the mouth. Have I made it? Have I openly avowed my faith in Jesus as the Savior whom God has raised from the dead? And have I done it in God's way? Let me honestly answer this question. There must also be belief with the heart. Do I sincerely believe in the risen Lord Jesus? Do I trust in Him as my sole hope of salvation? Is this trust from my heart? Let me answer as before God. If I can truly claim that I have both confessed Christ and believed in Him, then I am saved. The text does not say it may be so, but it is as plain as a pikestaff and as clear as the sun in the heavens, thou shalt be saved. As a believer and a confessor, I may lay my hand on this promise and plead it before the Lord God at this moment and throughout life and in the hour of death and at the day of judgment. I must be saved from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the punishment of sin, and ultimately from the very being of sin. God hath said it, thou shalt be saved. I believe it. I shall be saved. I am saved. Glory be to God forever and ever.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. In the Epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul presents the fullest exposition of the gospel to be found anywhere in the New Testament. Before entering into his subject, however, Paul addressed the Roman Christians in the longest salutation to be found in any of his letters. He took time here to express the threefold impact the gospel of Christ has had upon his own life. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, Paul viewed himself as a bondservant of Christ, an indication of his humility. Then he recognized that Christ himself had called him to be an apostle. This was his honor. Finally, Paul regarded himself as separated unto the gospel of God. This was the message which had saved him, and throughout his ministry he would preach nothing else. Indeed, every aspect of Paul's life, his preaching, his faith, his fellowship, were all governed by the gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called A Soul Possessed by the Gospel.
In English, horizon is used figuratively to denote the limits of our mental perception of our experience of our or of our interest. Now, this is precisely Paul's meaning. I am separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel sets the boundaries for my thinking, for my believing, for my preaching, and for my living. I am separated unto the gospel. I will teach nothing else. When he went to Corinth, he said, I will know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. Or, as it may well be translated, I will make nothing known among you. I will preach nothing among you. I will teach nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm separated unto the gospel. I will be true to the gospel, whatever the cost. Separated unto the gospel, it will govern my faith. By the gospel I will judge truth and error. By the gospel I will judge every opinion of men. By the gospel I will judge every professed message and movement of God. Professed, I say. And you know, when you do that, there are movements of revival across this country, so-called revival. When you judge them by the gospel, you have to say they're either of the flesh or of the devil. When people say they're in revival and deny the Holy Trinity, when people say they're in revival and say instead of three persons in the Trinity, in the words of Benny Hinn, since at least half retracted, oh, there are nine of them. When people say they're in revival and there's never been one single message on justifying grace in Jesus Christ, or the imputation of his righteousness, or the meaning of propitiation, or any other substantive message or doctrine of the gospel, tell me, when you judge those things by the gospel, are they movements of God? Are they messages of God? I think not. Paul says, I'm separated unto the gospel. I don't care what appearances are. I don't care what people think. I don't care how other people judge it. Let me judge it by the gospel. The gospel governs my faith. The gospel governs my fellowship. I'm separated. And I would to God that all our fundamentalist churches would grasp this. Separation is not only from something, it is mostly unto something. To separate and separate and separate and separate and separate and keep on separating only means you get into a smaller and smaller and smaller group of bigots. Unless you're separating unto Christ, we go forth outside the camp unto Christ. And if it's not unto him and his gospel, then it's not biblical separation whatsoever. But how did Paul come to decide when he should separate and when he shouldn't separate? He says in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now there's how you separate. But reprove them. If anything does not gel with this gospel, now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not asking that everybody suddenly is able to dot every theological I and cross every theological T that I hold. I'm not doing that at all. When we get down to the essentials, the cardinal essentials of the gospel, anything that doesn't gel with it, separate. That's it. Separate. You remember what Paul says in chapter 16 of Romans, verse 17? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Mark the people who want to have separation contrary to the gospel. It is a sickening thing when you look at the state of the Church of Christ today. You will find that battling pastors, battling Christians are usually battling other Christians. And the devil's crowd goes scot-free. I'm not called to separate from everybody because I don't like the look of them. Or they don't particularly like me, although how that could be, I mean, I know it's hard to understand, but it happens. You know, that's not a ground for separation. Somebody didn't look at me when I walked up the aisle. Somebody said something to me that hurt my feeling. Man, get a grip of yourself. We're not babies, are we, in the cause of Christ? And we separate and we separate and we separate for nothing. When what ought to be binding us together is the gospel. Listen, I don't want you coming here to meet around me. I don't want you coming to this church to meet around our music program. I don't want you coming to this place simply for any program or anything that we can do. I want you here to see Christ and His gospel, and let us meet and separate unto the gospel. And the day that this church forsakes the gospel, get out as fast as your two legs will carry you. This governs my fellowship. And that governs my footsteps. And here I'll have to cut it short, because this is a very simple way of summing up, you know, most of Paul's life. I want to live by the gospel. I'm so possessed by this message that God met a guilty sinner, pardoned all my sins, imputed to me the righteousness of Christ, clothed me in the garments of salvation and the robe of Christ's righteousness, accepted me in His beloved Son, made me a son of God, made me an heir of God, made me an equal heir of Christ. I'm so captivated by this that I'll go anywhere the Lord sends me to preach it. Do you know one thing I like about Paul? I hear preachers, and I preach through the life of Paul, so I know he wasn't perfect. But I'll repeat what I said then. I wish my mistakes were like Paul's mistakes. I wish my sins were like Paul's sins. What I find about Paul is this. I never find God wanting Paul to go anywhere and Paul not wanting to go. I find Paul wanting to go, 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 go. And the Lord saying, no, 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 go there. But Paul, he could see the need. He could see the world. He wanted to go. Later on in this very chapter, he said, I have tried to go, but I was let hitherto. Who do you think hindered him? It was the Lord hindered him. Later on in the book, he gives you another thing that hindered him. But we put it down to the devil. It had nothing to do with the devil. The devil would have had a hard job stopping Paul going preaching. Here is a man who was ready to go and preach it. Writing into the Romans in chapter 15, verse 19 and 20, and then verse 25, he says, through many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Later in verse 25, now I go unto Jerusalem to minister to the saints. You should read in Acts 20 from 20 to 24. And there you'll see he was speaking to the Ephesian elders. And he says, I didn't keep anything back from you. I showed you, taught you publicly from house to house. I testified to the Jews. I testified to the Greeks. And what was the message? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth that in every city bonds and afflictions abide me. None of these things move me. See what he's saying? As we read in this very first chapter, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. This is the testimony of a soul possessed by the gospel. Brethren and sisters, it should never be otherwise. God hates with a passion. And I say this very reverently. God hates with a passion this religion that can tick off truth, but is so worldly that it's lukewarm to the things of Christ. Do you know something? Christ makes an incredible statement. I have to take it at its face value. Maybe put down as a figure of speech, I don't know, but I personally have to take it at its face value. He wrote to the Laodiceans, he said, you're neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm. Do you know what he said? I'd rather you were cold. At least you'd be something. You make me sick. That's the meaning of it. You make me sick. You're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why does the Savior talk like that? When we sang that hymn, I hope it grasps something of the message and encapsulates it. I gave my life for thee. I shed my blood for thee. I suffered pain for thee. What hast thou done for me? Does this gospel not grip your heart? Does this gospel not possess your very soul? Does it not lay hold of you in such a way as to say, I will live by this gospel. It sets my horizons. It sets my boundaries of faith, of fellowship, of my footsteps through this world. A Methodist bishop summed up the life of John Wesley, and he said the secret of John Wesley's power was his kingly neglect of trifles as he mastered the important thing, the preaching of the gospel. When J. Wilbur Chapman, the famous American Presbyterian evangelist, was in London, he went to see the aged William Booth, General of the Salvation Army, and inquired as to his success. And Booth, in a long paragraph, has this never to be forgotten statement. God has had all there is of William Booth. That's the secret. That's the testimony of Paul. That's the testimony of every soul possessed by the gospel of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.